We get a lot of questions on recommendations for various topics from practitioners new or newly interested in the craft. So today's episode is a roundup of our favorite forms of content, from books to podcasts to videos and more. We had a lot to say in this episode, as you can imagine, and so some, but not all, side tangents were cut and uploaded as Patreon exclusives. So if you're interested in Witchvox and podcasts and giant alien squid, maybe check that out on patreon.com/2bytorchlight. Otherwise, we hope you find some new recommendations in this episode, and if we missed any of your favorites, drop us an email so we can update our list in the future. Now, let's get into it. Welcome to 2 by Torchlight, where we dive deep and get real about magic and witchcraft, its relationship to science and pop culture, and what it's really like to build a modern practice that's accessible, effective, and unique to you. I'm Aradia, your veteran witch.
And I'm Liz, a newer practitioner. Hang out with us round the torchlight as we talk all things woo and witchcraft.
Hi, Aradia.
Hi, Liz.
How are you?
I am kind of still riding the high from, what's today? Thursday. Yesterday's full moon. So we were recording the day after the full super moon in Capricorn. Did you get to see the moon last night?
No. So we had a thunderstorm roll through that ended up making the sky really cloudy for like a really long time after. And I was so tired. I went to bed early because I am an old lady.
I also didn't see it because aforementioned clouds, but I saw pictures on like Instagram and shit, and I love supermoons. Not because like there's anything overly mystical about them. I love supermoons because they're so close to the Earth that they look so huge for just like, I think it's cool that it's just like the smallest amount of time that they look huge, right? Mm-hmm. And then when they get high enough over the horizon, they just look like a regular moon. And it's just like that perspective shift, I think, is so interesting and like neat to watch.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
And plus the energy was super intense, so I'm still riding that high too. So last week's episode went good. And I noticed that the last few episodes, we've been talking a lot of books, like different book recommendations and stuff like that. And in the Discord, we've been talking a lot about book recommendations. And that got me thinking that I think it would be cool if we talked about sort of our favorite resources in general, specifically like newbie friendly resources, because people always ask for like books, right? But there are so many other places that you can get good quality content and information. And it occurs to me that building a resource might not be a bad idea.
Yeah, absolutely.
I get asked all the time. It's probably one of the most common questions I get asked in comments and TikTok videos and stuff is, oh, what books would you recommend for this? Or what would you recommend for somebody just starting out? And I'm constantly going back and tagging people in other videos on book recommendations that I've made. And I'm like, ugh, I just need like one resource to be like, go here. Here is my total list for you. So it might end up being this episode. Who knows?
Yes.
So you want to jump right in with books?
Yeah, absolutely. I am a ravenous reader, and it's actually a hobby that has picked back up a lot again recently. I kind of have a problem. But yeah, so no, books are usually a go-to for me. So let's talk about it.
Okay. So I have a few books that I consider my ride or die books. I've had them forever, and I think they're really good and accessible to like newbies. And then there are a couple that are like newer to me that I'm super into. And then you got like a digital book bundle from something.
Yes, Humble Bundle.
Yes. Okay, so it was a Humble Bundle. It had a ton of really great books in there. I wouldn't necessarily pin them all for like beginners, but there were some really great like topic specific books in there too. Mm-hmm. So maybe in the Patreon we can sort of purge through that list and pull out some ones that are maybe not specifically geared towards beginners but are really good like topic specific books, and we'll throw up like a bonus list in the Patreon or on the Discord or something. But the books that I added to my list to talk about today are accessible for beginners across the board. Can you guess what my first one is?
I bet you I can. You've talked about it in the past.
I think I've mentioned this book on at least 4 podcast episodes at this point. I love basically everything Judith Iles has written. I recommend the Encyclopedia of 5,000 Spells to literally everybody because, and I think I talked about this last episode, because it's a really great, it's not like the end all be all. You don't want to buy this book and stop there. But because she covers so many different topics and so many different like spheres of spell work within the book, that it gives you a lot of information to like take and then do your own deeper research into.
Yeah.
But she writes a ton of other books too. Like she's got the Encyclopedia of Witchcraft. She's got the Encyclopedia of Spirits and Gods and Goddesses and Fairies or whatever. And then there's another one that's like Saints. And she's got a ton of books, and I've never been steered wrong by anything by her. My personal favorite is the 5,000 Spells, but anything by Judith Iles is definitely like one of the first things I recommend to beginners to the craft, and also to someone who's like, hey, I've been doing this for a while, but I'm looking for something new. What do you suggest?
Yeah, I vaguely remember, I want to double check, but I think she was actually included as part of that big book bundle that you had mentioned. But of course, I don't have that list pulled up right now, because I haven't gotten a chance to read through a lot of those yet. So I didn't include any on this list yet, because I don't like recommending stuff that I haven't read.
That's fair.
Very rarely I will do that.
Speaking of recommending books that we haven't read.
Yes.
So I'm not finished with this book yet, because I actually only just bought it like a week or two ago. But Witchery by Juliet Diaz was recently recommended to me as a really easy read as a beginner book. And I've started to read it. I'm not finished with it yet, but it is so easy to just like jump right into this book and like...
Sorry. Yes. That exact book was part of that bundle.
I really like it. That's been a really good read so far. And like I said, it's definitely like a 101 book. So I know a lot of what she's talking about already, but I still find myself picking it up and reading it, even though it's not like new information. So I really like that.
There was a Judith Iles book as well. Magic When You Need It was also part of that bundle.
That's one that I haven't read by her, but I've heard a lot of really good things.
Yeah, so that is on my list still because I do have that. A couple of the ones that I have that I like, I tend to use more like reference books than full-on like books so far. So like I like being able to like grab a book and like look up what I need to find specifically instead of like sitting and reading an entire book. The Crystal Bible by Judy Hall is one that I actually use quite a bit. And now instead of sending you a picture of a pretty rock and going, Aradia, what is this? I check the book first and then I'm like, hey Aradia, I think this is this. Am I right? But I really like it. It has a lot of really good information. The pictures are very, like, clear, and it goes over a lot of... So, like, if you have quartz, obviously quartz comes in many different fashions, and there are also stones that have other names that are also quartzes. And this not only goes into the actual science behind the stones and crystals and, like, things that might not be crystals but are still used for stuff, and like it just it's a very great meshing of the science and the magic and some history depending on certain stones. So I really like that one.
I am familiar with that book, and it is a good solid reference book to have, and we'll talk later about why it's so important to understand the geology of your stones. But no, that's a really good book. I like it.
Yeah. And then one of the other books that I have to recommend is Plant Magic for the Beginner Witch by Ali Sands. It literally is laid out like a cookbook. Like it has these like beautiful full page color photos. You know how when you look at a recipe book, you can just tell by the formatting that it's a recipe book?
Right.
This kind of has that really beautiful formatting. It's really nice. It's like I said, if you're used to reading or like a cookbook, this is gonna look very similar when you open the pages and look at it, but it's just different spells and different types of spells. And yeah, I just really like it. I've actually sent it to a couple friends.
That's cool. That's actually not one that I've heard of, so that's interesting.
I'll have to show it to you next time we meet up.
Yeah, I'll have to take a look at it. I like how you said, though, that a lot of your go-to books, even as a beginner, are more resource and reference books than they are like a book that you would sit down and read. I don't know if people have picked up at this point, but there's a trend in the books that I recommend, and it's that I typically tend to stay away from recommending the ones that are like this author's Book of Shadows or Book of Self-Care Spells or Grimoire for the Green Witch, which I think is an actual book.
Yes.
Like those books that are like, we're going to be all encompassing for the beginner. Because the problem I find with those books is that inevitably you lose something from trying to fit too much into a book.
Mm-hmm.
Like you don't go into depth enough about certain things, and people don't learn the full foundation that they need to learn in a beginner book because you're trying to cover a little bit of everything. You also tend to get a lot of the author's biases in books like that, which if you know how to read past biases to get the information, it's not that big a deal, but not a lot of people know how to do that. So I also tend to lean towards like resource books. Despite the fact that I am not Wiccan, some of my favorite resource books are written by Scott Cunningham.
Mm-hmm. I noticed that the Big Blue Book is not on this list.
No. I think I still have a copy of the Big Blue Book.
The Big Blue Book is referencing Scott Cunningham's...
So it's not Scott Cunningham, it's Raymond Buckland.
That one. Sorry, Raymond Buckland.
It's Buckland's Complete Book of Witchcraft.
That one.
Yep.
Wow, I just went off the rails on that.
That is very high traditional ceremonial magic. And if that's what you dig, that is the book you want. I have read that book cover to cover. I do like the way that book is structured and that it's structured as sort of like a lesson guide. So
oh, yeah.
Each chapter is a different lesson and it takes you through all the beginning steps of prepping your tools and prepping your space and prepping yourself and giving you like basic information. It's just coming from Raymond Buckland's tradition, which I think he was Gardnerian. I don't actually know because again, I'm not Wiccan, but I might even still have a copy of his book on my bookshelf, but it's not one that I use mm-hmm. at all. But yeah, that's Uncle Ray. That's Uncle Ray's Big Blue Book. That's not on my list.
Oh, interesting. So apparently he was two flavors of Wiccan, but specifically he introduced the lineage of Gardnerian Wicca to the United States.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
That was one of the books that turned me off because it was like, I know the right way and my way is the right way. And I'm like, okay.
And the reason the book is written like that is because that he's basically walking you through a year and a day study within a very specific tradition. So mm-hmm. coming from the perspective of somebody joining that tradition, that is the right way. The problem is a lot of people pick up that book because it's called The Complete Book of Witchcraft, and they don't realize that it's an introductory to a very specific path. And so it can come across as like, this seems weird and very strict. When, yes, it is strict and structured, but for a good reason.
Right.
But no, Scott Cunningham is another popular Wiccan author. He's written a ton of books, and three of his reference books are some of my favorites that I have had multiple copies of through the years and will always have a place on my bookshelf. So the first one is Cunningham's Encyclopedia of Magical Herbs, which I know I have talked about before.
Mm-hmm.
I have had multiple copies of this book because I think I lose them and then I buy a new one and then I find my old one. I still have my original copy from the late 90s, early 2000s, which has some entries in it that newer editions don't have because updated health and safety information has come out regarding those herbs. So I have an old copy and I have a new copy, and it's fun to sort of like compare and contrast. There's also Cunningham's Encyclopedia of Crystal, Gem, and Metal Magic, which is just another like crystal resource book, but it's not just crystals. So it goes over like minerals and metals and stuff too. And then The Complete Book of Incense, Oils, and Brews is also written by Scott Cunningham. And I love that book because it talks about like how to make different herbal preparations, like oils and flower essences. And his idea of a tincture is different than a medicinal tincture. But it has a ton of just straightforward recipes, like how to make opera melon oil, how to make drawing salve, how to make four thieves oil, like a lot of very traditional recipes he's got in that book, which I think every witch should know how to make. And those are my three Cunningham books. He has written lots of other books. I like them less than I like those, again, because they're more structured in a way that they're trying to be a little bit of everything. Like, he has Book of Earth Magic, which is another one of, like, those 101 grimoire style books. He's got Scott Cunningham's Grimoire or Cunningham's Book of Shadows or something, I think, which seemed interesting when I was flipping through it, but not enough to really, like, grab my attention and pull me in. So I definitely like his straight up resource books better than his, like, written books and crafted books.
Yeah. And those are ones I have the Encyclopedia of Magical Herbs digitally, but these are the type of books that I like to have physically because they're just so much easier to search. And those three are on my to-buy list eventually.
Yeah. See, I have the same thing with gaming books. Like, I know people love having, like, all their D&D books digitally and using, what is it?
D&D Beyond.
D&D Beyond. I can't stand it. I need to have my stack of books that breaks my arm every time I go to game, and I need to be able to flip through pages when it's a resource manual. Like, I need the actual book in my hands.
I agree with you on that, but I'm also a sucker for D&D Beyond purely for the character creation and character sheet management.
My character sheets are entire leather-bound journals. I don't use printed character sheets, so D&D Beyond doesn't work for me in any way.
I do both. I keep a campaign journal, and then I keep my... Anyways... Tangent.
This is not a D&D podcast. Join the Discord if you want to hear us geek out about games.
Oh my god, far too often.
So I have a couple other books on this list that are not so witchy, but I'll explain why they're important. My next suggestion would be to get a medicinal herbal guide. My favorite is The Complete Herbal Tutor by Anne McIntyre, but you can also pick up anything by Juliet Blanketspore or Rosemary Gladstar or Maria Noelle Groves. They are really popular, really well-educated herbalists, because if you're going to be doing herbal magic and if you're going to be working with plants, you need to know the medicinal properties, and you need to know the safety information and the contraindications. And so often, Cunningham covers it a little bit, but it's kind of hard to decipher in his Book of Magical Herbs. But a lot of books on magical herbalism don't, I feel, go deep enough into the safety information of herbs. And as an herbalist, that is a soapbox that I stand on a lot. So I definitely suggest, if you are interested in herbal magic, having a medicinal guide, even if you don't plan to make medicine with your herbs, even if you're just using it for magical use and energetic use, because if you want to make a cup of tea, you want to make sure that the herbs you're drinking aren't going to counteract with medications you may be taking, or aren't going to prevent you from driving. Like, you know, people will take valerian for dream magic and then pass out and wonder why they, yeah. So have a medicinal herbal guide. And sort of to tie into that suggestion, also have field guides for your local region, especially if you plan to go out and forage or wildcraft, because you need to know that you know what you're looking at. I even bring field guides to, like, garden centers, because sometimes with some of the more obscure herbs, they may have them, but they may not know exactly, like, what strain of herb it is, although they should know, but some of them don't. And different strains may have different purposes and uses. So having a field guide, at least one, I have two, is also really important.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And I actually am going to have a little bit on that later in the show when we get to some different resources that I would love to go over, because I don't actually know if you know this.
Cool. All right.
So, yeah.
I'm intrigued. So, I have one more book recommendation. I'm going to be honest. It's not a beginner book, and it is also not a witchcraft resource book. But it does have to do with witchcraft. It's sort of like a nerdy bonus suggestion. It's called So Potent Art. It's by Emily Carding, and it breaks down all of the magic in Shakespeare.
That's amazing.
It is such a good book. And I actually recently took a class. It was a 9-week Hecate devotional program. And it was run by two people, one of which was Emily Carding, because she's got a really firm grasp of historical research
and sort of pulling useful information, because she is a witch and she does practice, but pulling useful information about magic and paganism and witchcraft and practice from historical sources. And it's just, it's really interesting to read about all of the different little bits of folklore and magic that Shakespeare wove into his work. I was an English and journalism major, and I am a big English nerd and a theater nerd. And so it's just that one book is an intersection of a lot of different passions for me. And it's really interesting if you like Shakespeare. It's really interesting. So
if I knew more Shakespeare, I'd be so into it. But you would be ashamed at how little Shakespeare I've actually read.
I know how many movies you've seen in your life, so I don't think knowing how much Shakespeare you've read would make me ashamed.
Books are different usually, because, like, I'm a reader and I've always been a reader.
Yes, but reading scripts and plays is so different than reading fiction.
Yeah, no, that's fair.
And you really, you don't even get the full appreciation of Shakespeare by reading it. You have to see it performed.
Oh yeah, I'm sure.
Because there's so much in, like, he was very deliberate in the words he used. He was very deliberate in how he structured the rhyming scheme for a lot of things. Like, and even it even goes so far as, like, certain words are pronounced differently back then than they are now, and the pronunciation plays into the jokes. And so reading it, you don't get a lot of the jokes that you would get if you're watching a proper production of a show. There's just, yeah. It's another tangent, but definitely. Yeah. Okay. So those are our book suggestions.
Yay.
Going from book suggestions, I want to talk about authors for a second, because we mentioned some of my favorite authors, but not all of them. So obviously Judica Iles, is anything you can pick up by her, I think, is going to be a really great beginner resource, as long, again, as you understand that it's, all of these are starting places, right? Continue mm-hmm. to do your own research. Matt Oren is another really good author. He really knows his stuff. The only reason I didn't add his book Psychic Witch to my list is because I think you want to have a basic understanding of energy and psychic work to really get a lot out of his book. However, I admit that I could be wrong, because he touts the book as being accessible for beginners. And I read it only within the last 2 years. So me reading it, I don't know if a beginner would get as much out of it as I did, but I know that I got a lot out of it. So if you were a newbie and you read Psychic Witch by Matt Oren, please let me know how much you got out of it, because I will add that book to my, I love the book, so I will add it to my list if newbies tell me that it was very accessible to them as well. And also Laura Tempest Zakroff is another author who's been doing this for a long time and really knows her stuff. I don't have any books by her specifically, but I read her blog, which we're going to talk about in a second, a lot, and that has a lot of really great information.
What a name, though.
Yeah, I know, right? Some of these names, like, the rest of these names on this list are pretty... Matt Oren has the most normal name out of this entire list of authors.
I want to hear you pronounce the next one.
It's Sarita Deste.
Okay.
And I only know that because she was the other half of the two-person duo with Emily Carding that taught the Hecate devotional. Yeah.
Yep.
So she writes specifically about Hecate. So if you're interested in Hecate, you should check her out. Her and Cindy Brannon. I had a brain fart. I almost forgot her name. Cindy Brannon also writes about Hecate. I like Sarita's stuff a little bit better, but I feel like Cindy Brannon is a little bit more accessible in her language. But if you like Hecate, those are basically the only authors out there writing about her. Okay, so there is Madame Pamita, who has only come across my radar recently, but she's got a few books out. There's a really, really great book on candle magic by her. It's like, it is a solid resource. I probably should have added that to the books list, but... and she also has a website where she sells stuff, but also has a lot of information. And it's a bit more, I think, like, New Orleans-style folk magic.
Okay.
Mortellus is another author. I've only read one book by I believe them so far, which is Do I Have to Wear Black? That's the title of the book. And it's all about pagan funerary practices.
Oh.
But, like, if you're interested in, like, death and, like, the creepiness factor, but also, like, the idea of what happens after we die and, you know, that kind of stuff, in a, yeah, like, hi, woven into your magic and your practice, really, really good resource.
Yeah, hi. Literally looking for the book right now because I want.
We have a copy of Do I Have to Wear Black at the shop.
Don't tell me that.
My last favorite author on this list is Misha Magdalene, which I know I've talked about in the past as well. Misha wrote the book Outside the Charmed Circle, which is all about breaking down the gender binary in energy and magic. I love everything that Misha does because it comes from a very queer perspective of, you know, rethinking a lot of this like traditional binary within witchcraft, which I think is really important moving forward into the year 2022 and beyond, to consider reframing some of these more traditional, should we say, perspectives.
Mm-hmm.
Are there any authors I didn't mention that you can think of off the top of your head?
Not that I would recommend like their entire works. Like the few books that I have really found useful are the ones that I threw up, but I don't know enough authors, spread of work enough to just wholesale recommend an author.
That's fair. That's fair. All right. So everybody always asks about books, right? Everybody always asks about witchcraft books, but what about websites? You kind of get the sense that, oh, you can't learn about witchcraft from the internet because nothing is true on the internet and don't believe everything you read on the internet. But I think there are some places where you can get reliable information depending on what it is you're looking for. The number one website resource that I use when I have a question and I don't have a book on hand that I can trust will give me at least a starting point for research is Wikipedia.com. Not the same thing as Wikipedia, like Wicca, W-I-C-C-A-pedia.
Yeah, that's an actual book.
It's a book, but it was a website first.
Oh, was it? Okay.
Yes. So Wikipedia is a website. I'm recommending Wikipedia. So it's Wikipedia.com. And obviously, literally everything is going to be listed in the show notes. So don't worry about spelling and everything like that while you're listening. They don't always have everything I'm looking for when I need just a quick reference on something, but when they do have a quick reference on something that I'm looking for, it's always really well researched, really well written, and it's so easy to be able to pull up my phone and go, oh, I'll go to Wikipedia and see if they have it, and if not, I guess I'll wait until I get home and go look through my books.
Yeah.
Like, if I'm out and about, I trust it enough to have it be my first stop when I'm doing research and I don't have books in hand. And speaking of research, I also like things like Google Scholar, because Google Scholar is going to give you more well-researched and well-rounded articles about mythology and folklore and anthropology and all of these things that do play a factor in a lot of magic, at least even on some level. It may not be you're building an entire practice around like articles you find on Google Scholar, but so Google Scholar can provide scholarly articles that will help you break down the truth from UPG and fiction and fantasy and just straight up lies in a lot of stuff that has to do with mythology and history. So Norse pantheon and Norse paganism stuff, for example, has been seriously co-opted in recent years. So you can go on something like Google Scholar and do research into like actual Scandinavian history and actual Norse mythology to learn about the gods in a way that maybe picking up a book about Thor in your local bookshop isn't gonna do for you, because you don't know what the biases of that person were that wrote it, where they got their information. Obviously, Norse paganism is just an example, but like a lot of what we have of written history for Norse mythology was from a Christian perspective when monks raided the Isles, right?
Mm-hmm.
So there's a lot of slant to a lot of the stories. And so places like Google Scholar and other like scholarly resource sites will help you sort of break down from a historical perspective so that you can then pull bits of information out to apply to your actual worship and practice of these gods.
Yeah, absolutely. And then, so one that I have absolutely mentioned in the past that we talked about during our tarot episode was Labyrinthos.co. I absolutely love Labyrinthos. They have an app, they have a website.
Yeah, that's a really solid resource for learning about tarot. My usual first stop for tarot resources is Bitty Tarot, but Labyrinthos is often a second stop for me if I didn't get specifically what I'm looking for. I was looking for something a little bit more than Bitty Tarot has. But I don't remember the name of the woman who runs Biddy Tarot, but she's been doing it for literal decades and really knows her stuff.
I don't know if they do it on the website itself, but I know the app has the like daily exercises that you can do to like build intuition when it comes to the cards and build like memory as well for them. I know they do it on the app. I don't know if they do it on the website, but I highly recommend that.
Very cool. So if you like divination, another really solid resource that you can find on a website, it's called shieldmaidenssanctum.com, and it's all about interpreting the runes. And Liz, I know we've talked about runes before and how you had a book and you were really disappointed in it. I really like this website because it is a modern take on proper historical interpretation of the runes.
I'll have to check that one out, yeah.
So it's a full blog. It's got a lot of really great information, but it does have just like straightforward resources on the different runes and their meanings too.
And then no word of a lie. Sometimes when I'm doing my notes on like herbs that I've used, because I'm still building my own little like reference and stuff, a lot of the times I will check for cautions on WebMD. Because WebMD doesn't just have listed stuff for like medications and symptoms and stuff like that. It also has overviews of different vitamins, supplements, and herbs. And they list all known names for the herb. So like even going so far as like certain folk names and stuff or any other names that this herb may be known by, they list all of those. They list side effects, but they also list precautions. And a lot of the times when I'm doing my notes on herbs, I will actually check WebMD because they have different areas for side effects, precautions, and medication interactions.
I do really like using something like WebMD for medication interactions because that's a big one. A lot of people don't realize that herbs, yeah, they're natural, but herbs can still interact with medications that you're taking, sometimes in good ways and sometimes in not so good ways. But you reminded me of another one, anniesremedy.com. It's a full like profile breakdown of each of the herbs. It has a proper botanical name, folk names, uses, dosage for common methods of taking the herb, talks about any safety information that goes along with the herb. And then sometimes it'll actually talk like propagation and growing information too, which I think is really interesting.
Yeah.
So that's another good one. And then before we move on from websites, we can't talk about witchy websites without talking about Pathos Pagan, right?
Mm-hmm.
So Pathos is a website that's just a collection of blogs for a ton of different topics. But they have basically a corner of Pathos is specifically for pagan and witchcraft blogs. So that's all it is. It's like it's a blog collaborative, I guess. And there are some not so great blogs on there, but there are some absolutely stellar pieces of content on Pathos Pagan. Blogs that I really like and I trust whenever they release information would be Agora. I also really like Three Pagans and a Cat. A Modern Traditional Witch is written by Laura Tempest Zakroff. And For Puck's Sake, Puck's Sake is Matt Oren's blog on Pathos. And those are four that come up all the time with really great information. But you can also, if you're doing just Google searches, general Google searches on a topic, try searching those keywords on Pathos Pagan and see what comes up too. Just read it with a critical eye, but there's a lot of really great stuff on there too. Okay, moving on. So I think we would be remiss if we didn't talk about podcasts.
Right, yeah.
Right? Because everybody, podcasts are like the new big way to consume content right now. Everybody's listening to podcasts. If you're listening to this one, I would assume that I don't have to suggest this one. But we talk about witchcraft, if you didn't know, so you should listen to us.
Yeah, hi.
Hi, it's us, yeah. But also, so four of my favorite witchcraft podcasts are New World Witchery, which has been going for literal years. Like, I'm pretty sure Corey and Lane have been talking about witchcraft longer than podcasting has been a thing. One of the hosts of the show, Corey, he wrote a book about North American folk magic, and the book I have heard, because I haven't gotten a copy yet and I need to, but I've heard that this book is like as big as a dictionary. they are a wealth of knowledge and they are wonderful people. And we don't need to be pimping their show on our tiny little show because they are they're like the gold standard for witchcraft podcasts and everybody knows it. But if by some crazy stretch of the imagination you haven't heard of them, go listen to New World Witchery. I also really like Invoking Witchcraft. It's one that I have stuck with since the beginning. I don't always agree with them 100%, but I do always find myself evaluating my opinions about why I don't agree with them, which I think is a really valuable resource in and of itself.
Okay.
They are both very folk magic, but they're both very, like, Catholic-leaning folk magic. So if that, like, completely turns you off or you get a trauma response from Catholic folk magic, I wouldn't listen to Invoking Witchcraft. But if you can handle that kind of stuff, they have some really good information, especially some of their earlier episodes are really just chock full of try this tip, do this thing, do it this way. You could try it this way, or you could do it. Okay, so this transition may be a little choppy because we almost just lost our recording. But
we're fine.
Everything's fine. Everything's fine. Nothing's on fire. live shows, guys. It's crazy. But okay, so my last podcast suggestion, I have to give a caveat. They are no longer recording, so there are no more new episodes coming out. But I really like the Cursed podcast. So they do a lot of interviews with other podcasters and authors and stuff. And the show started off with two co-hosts, and then one of them left, and it was just one guy. And I think he ended it shortly after his co-host left. But he had this podcast, Cursed, which was all about, like, witchcraft and magic and stuff. And then there was a companion podcast called Hex Files, which was all about the paranormal. And they would often reference the two shows back and forth, but you can listen to one without listening to the other. But if you like the paranormal, check out Hex Files, too. But Cursed had a lot of really great information. They have, I think Cursed is the one that there's, like, a long two-part episode on Hecate. Oh. And starting to work with Hecate. It's like, I think they recorded total for like 3 hours.
Oh, wow.
And split it up into two episodes. And like, it was still an hour and change per episode after editing it down. But it's so much good information in those two episodes. But so definitely listen to that. You can binge it and then you'll be done. And then you can move on to something else.
And then, so I have, it's not a witchy podcast, but more on the myth-leaning side. I absolutely love Spirits Podcast. Their episodes are fairly short, so you're not going to get a full deep dive into somebody's mythology. And even they admit sometimes they get things wrong, but they always try and go for, like, as close to primary resources that they can find, or they tell you what their resources are for their research. But if you ever want, like, just a really overarching idea about different deities or their lore or their myths or creatures or what have you, their very first episode was about Hades and Persephone. They've done episodes on like the Morrigan, and I believe they have a Hecate episode, but I really love them.
Cool. So I'll have to add that one to my ever-growing list of podcasts to listen to. There's like 300 episodes of And That's Why We Drink, and I'm on episode like 90. And that's one that I can't listen to with the witchlet in the car because half of the episode is about murder. So I'm never gonna live long enough to listen to all my podcasts. But that's okay.
Here's where I'm gonna shine, though.
Yeah, because
we're talking about TikTok.
I am not shy about the fact that I don't watch witch talk videos. They don't come up on my For You page. Every once in a while, when I seek out a witch talk video about a topic, I just get very discouraged by what I see and I turn the app off. So this is all you.
Yes. So Chaotic Witch Aunt, who we've mentioned before, they do a lot of story times. They talk about their own practices a lot. They'll go into, like, sometimes if they get asked about it enough, they'll, like, kind of go into explaining. The video that pops to my head is people were asking them about veiling, and they went into, like, their own personal reasons for veiling or explaining veiling. And things of that nature. Going through my liked videos, my most liked witch talk creator is, of course, Aradia Darling.
Better be.
I, honest to goodness, actually love your videos. And I love seeing how many people interact with them. Just saying.
Bitch, I know it.
I will forever champion you. And I 100% want to be that person in the comments that people are like, who is this person that's acting so familiar with Aradia? And I can be like, they're my best friend, bitch.
side tangent. It still feels so weird to have more than like 10 people watching my videos on TikTok. It feels weird to know that more than just you and me listen to this podcast. But anyway,
right?
just earlier tonight, my Witchlet was watching me edit a video for my YouTube channel this morning. And she got all excited because she knows how to read and write now, so she can, like, search for her own shit on YouTube, and she doesn't have to distract me every 10 seconds to find her a new video. So she goes, Mama, what's your channel? So I told her my channel. It's Dear Aradia, if you guys want to go search for it. And so she starts binging all my videos this morning. And she goes, Mama, does anybody ever recognize you? And, like, I started to be like, baby, it's not that. And my partner pokes his head in and he's like, yeah, they do. She's famous. I'm like, shut up. I'm not. I'm really not. I've had, like, three people recognize me. And it's because TikTok's algorithm suggests a lot of videos that are in your general geographic region. And I work in a very recognizable store.
Aradia, that's not zero.
Yes, but I really...
That's not zero.
It's not zero. It's not big, but it's not zero.
Speaking about Witchlet, though, another creator that I really like watching that will sometimes catch me off guard with how funny it is, her name is Spirituality.
Nice.
Again, the spelling will be in the show notes, but it's supposed to be a play on. Yeah, anyways. She is a Christian witch, but she does sketches about her kid. And her kid just likes making friends with deities. It's the funniest shit. It's if you've ever seen her, she's the one that's like, Mom, can I go give an offering to Loki? Like, with that type of... Anyways, it's so funny. And, yeah, her kid just likes to give offerings to random deities. And, like, there was one time her kid literally asked... I think it was Athena for help with her math homework or something.
Oh, my God, that's adorable.
Yeah, like, it's so it's so funny.
The only thing my kid does is try to invite all the Fae into my house. And I have to remind her on a weekly basis, we do not invite the Fae inside.
Now that tracks. And then Jessie Streak is another content creator that I've mentioned before. She does a lot of, like, funny witch content. She does a lot of, like, sketches and just, like, funny stuff. She's also the first creator I ever saw talk about working with bones on TikTok. I'm sure other people had, but she's the first that I had ever seen.
Like, actual, like, just random bones or, like, bone throwing?
She does bone throwing, but the first video I ever saw her make about it, she wears like a daily wear pendant that has a rabbit bone woven into it. So she kind of talked about that and the stigma around it and why she chooses to do it and how she like goes into sourcing like ethically harvested bones. And things of that nature. So that was really cool. So, like, she does funny stuff, but every so often you'll catch her talking about, like, legit stuff. And she is also a Dionysian practitioner and follower. So that's always fun.
Very cool.
But those are my, like, big recommends on TikTok.
I will have to watch more of this Jessie Streak because I really like bones and stuff. That sounds so weird. I like bones.
If you see her face, you'll recognize her because I've sent you her stuff before.
She's the one, she wears the big black hat.
The big hat, yeah.
Yeah, okay, yeah, yeah.
And she does the, like, you know, when you're trying to cleanse something, and she does, like, lip syncs, and, yeah. When you see her face, you know who I'm talking about.
Yeah. Okay, so I have two TikTok recommendations. I know I said I didn't, but I have two. One is a mutual of mine. I've never met him in person, but we're friends on TikTok and he's legit. Steffenbach Sigils, or Sigils, depending on how you pronounce it. He is a Norse practitioner. He actually lives in Norway and he is an archaeologist. So he is very cool in that he covers the historical aspect of learning the mythology of the gods.
Mm-hmm.
And he is very pro Odin was queer. He is not a neo-Norse bro. He's definitely on our side. One of my recent favorite TikTok creators that I follow is Rants and Rocks. She's not witchy in the slightest. In the slightest. She's actually a geologist and a high school geology teacher and physical sciences teacher. The reason that I love her account is because she is getting involved in crystal talk, basically to educate a lot of metaphysical crystal users and spiritual people about the geology of the stones and the crystals and the minerals that they're using. And she's really made it like a personal mission to get people to understand that these things have actual physical properties that you should probably learn about. Like, one of my favorite things is she does...
reviews the crystal confetti.
Yeah, she does the crystal confetti. She calls it the TikTok's favorite game show, where she reviews crystal confetti. And anytime you have a bunch of quartz and like selenite in just a big scoop, she always gives them a zero, because quartz is a hardness scale of 7 and selenite's like a 2, and you're just gonna get like quartz and selenite powder when it gets you. And she's so funny. I love watching her stuff, but she's really informative because she's a teacher. It's literally her job is to teach people who don't know any better about geology. So she gets a lot of questions from like the crystal spiritual community about, well, how do you know if it's this versus this? And you said this stone doesn't exist, but I just bought it yesterday. What really is it? And like all kinds of stuff. So she doesn't talk about the energetics of the stone. She talks about the actual geology, which I think is super important for witches to learn.
And even with being critical about like the crystal confetti stuff, she's never mean about it. Yeah. Like, it's purely that high school teacher where like she's just conveying knowledge.
Right. She's only ever sarcastic when they're mean first.
Right, exactly.
She's so, like, she is a type of person I would love to go get a drink with. Right. Let me buy you a drink. Let's talk about magic rocks. Come on. Okay, so moving on from TikToks, I think we should cover some more longer form video content, because before there was TikTok, there was YouTube, and YouTube is still the king when it comes to video.
Mm-hmm.
I, much like TikTok, don't watch a lot of witchy video creators on YouTube either. I'm noticing a pattern. There's a lot of stuff, just like on TikTok, just like on all social media, there's a lot of stuff that's really irresponsible. But there's one witch creator that I really enjoy her content. She's really informative. They're like hour-long videos every time, so I don't always watch her, but like sometimes I'll put it on in the background if I'm doing something. And she is Hearth Witch on YouTube. She's quite popular, so you may have seen her if you frequent YouTube at all. She's very approachable in her explanations of things, and I like that. And she runs a business. She doesn't ship here, though, because she lives in the UK. So I can't buy anything from her and support her. But if you live in the UK, you can support her. She has started to do something that I've started to do, which is like reviewing witch talk, like doing witch talk react videos.
Yeah.
And I'm always part curious, part scared to see if any of my videos come up in her reviews, but they haven't yet. So that's probably a good sign. And then I have two more YouTube, maybe three more YouTube suggestions. The first channel is called Monarch's Factory. She is an Australian nerd who tells mythology stories and does a lot of like D&D stuff. A lot of my video content that I consume is D&D related.
Yeah.
Yeah. But there's a lot of mythology in D&D. So like my kid's been talking my ear off about Stranger Things for the last 3 days. So, and she's 7, by the way, but whatever. Monarch's Factory does a lot of like mythology stories, and she tells them in a really entertaining way, but she does her research too. So if you're interested in learning more about mythology, specifically the mythology of like your particular pantheons, check out Monarch's Factory for like the actual factual stories. And if you like mythology in an entertaining way that is actually factual, you can also check out Overly Sarcastic Productions.
I love them.
Yeah. They do things that are not just mythology. So I think it's just Red that does the mythology ones.
Red does mythology, trope talk, and like all of those. And then Blue does the history portion. They're really good about keeping their stuff in playlists.
Yeah.
On their YouTube. But Red is the one who specifically does like mythology, trope talks, and all of those.
Yeah. I've mostly watched Red's videos on OSP, and her stuff is really good. Like, she did a video on Persephone that I really, really liked.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So those are my three YouTube suggestions. The last one is kind of not really a full suggestion, but if you are interested in the science of the world, which you should be if you're a witch, because we're stewards of the natural world, I like to say. I watch a lot of shit from Hank Green.
Yes.
And in fact, some of Hank Green's YouTube videos make their way into some of my witchcraft classes. Like, SciShow did a series called The World's Most Asked Questions. And one of the videos they did for that series is What is Energy? Which I make literally all of my Reiki students watch. All of them. It is really, really good. You watch it from the perspective of a witch and you go, okay, everything he's saying is physics, right? How can I apply that to my magic? But there's also, like, they have so many different topics of Crash Course nowadays. They have Crash Course mythology, and they have Crash Course history, and they have Crash Course world religions, and but they also have, like, Crash Course geology, you know, and anthropology and stuff like that. Which actually leads me into my last couple tips, which aren't like resource references so much as they are places to find information and sort of like outside the box ways of thinking about learning new information. One of which is to, you know, stay up to date on your sciences. The big news right now in the world is that CERN turned on the Hadron Collider again, which on the surface level seems just very sciencey, right? But they are doing some incredible work with, like, really trying to understand the fabric of the universe, which is also very spiritual work. There was some rumblings that I heard of, like, certain experiments they're doing in CERN right now over the next couple years could potentially lead to proving the existence of multiple realities, which is the thought just completely blows my mind, and I can't wrap my head around it. But staying up to date on stuff like physics and anthropology and, like, new discoveries in archaeology, all of this can help give you at least a little bit more rounded perspective when you're building a witchcraft practice, especially if it has to do with ancestry or it has to do with cultural practices, or you're eclectic and you like to pull from lots of different things. Botany, geology, all that kind of stuff, all of these sciences can help inform our witchcraft.
Yeah, I know a huge perspective shift that hit me recently that came from science. Have you seen the images from the James Webb
Space Telescope? Oh my God, I can't get it. I love them and I hate them all at the same time because they make me feel so insignificant, but they're so beautiful.
Right? I know. Somebody made a joke where it's like, yeah, the James Webb Space Telescope, it's the most expensive wallpaper creator ever.
But it's so true.
And now, not to get into too much of a tangent, but all the deep sea stuff they're finding now, Oh, it's so cool and so creepy, and I love it.
They're going to find mermaids, yo. They're going to find mermaids, and they're going to find the Kraken, and they're going to... It's... Man, magic is just science that we don't have an explanation for yet.
Yep.
And we are constantly, still to this day, finding new types of animals and creatures, and you can't tell me the cryptids aren't real. That's my rant.
Do you know what I'm talking about when I say big fin squid?
No.
These creepy motherfuckers. Hold on.
Wait. No, I don't want
to
see.
No, you need to now. It's too late.
Oh, God. Oh, God. I don't want to look at creepy fish. Oh, God. She sent me a picture. Okay. All right. I will do it for the podcast. I don't want to. Oh, my God.
The adolescents have been measured at 26 feet long.
Oh, my God. That thing looks alien.
That's what's called the elbow pose.
That's terrifying. Dear God.
I am obsessed with these creepy little motherfuckers.
No, stop sending me pictures. Oh my God. Okay, I just accidentally opened Steam because I couldn't look at what I was clicking on to click out of the browser. That is the fucking creepiest thing I've ever seen.
Oh my god. AKA Big Fin Squid. Really bad name for it.
Oh my God. Why does it look like some kind of alien creature coming from my face?
I think it was recorded as being anywhere from like 3,000 feet to 6,000 feet below sea level.
That's insane. It is alien. It is an alien.
Yep.
Jesus Christ. Oh God. You got to put those in the Discord. That's just terrifying to look at. Anyways. All right, kids. Well, on that note, I'm going to go have nightmares about deep sea squid now. Oh, God. Ugh. And I like sea creatures. I'm a pirate. I don't need that thing.
It's so cool.
Oh, God. Okay. So anyway, that is a wrap up of some of our favorite resources, maybe 95% of which are super newbie friendly. We went off on a few tangents, but hopefully you guys learned about some new resources for content and information that you didn't know before. Yeah, so like we mentioned a few times, we are going to have this full list of resources posted in the show notes, so don't worry about frantically trying to find anything. We will have links. They will be clickable. You can find all of this stuff easily.
Yes, as we were just talking about, I'm going to be talking about Big Fin Squid in the Discord in just a second, because that was funny. So if you would like to join the conversations that we have outside of the podcast, if you would like to interact with us or the wonderful community that we are building, join the Discord. But like, speaking of resources, it sounds like a book club is forming.
It looks like some of the members in our Discord are going to be doing that, and I think it's wonderful, and I can't wait to see what they make us read.
Yeah, so if you want to join the conversations, like I said, I have started posting pictures of the elusive digital Book of Shadows to share.
Oh, I thought you were going to say the elusive squid.
I'm gonna watch. Don't look at the Discord for the next, like, until you go to sleep. Like, tomorrow morning, new day, new scarring of Big Fin Squid.
Christ, awesome. I can look at and talk about cryptids all day long. Mothman doesn't scare me. This squid, nope, don't like it, don't want it.
You're only seeing still pictures too. You're not even seeing them moving.
I don't want to see it move. If you want to find us other places, we are at 2xTorchlight pretty much everywhere. Twitter, TikTok, Facebook, Instagram. You can also find us at 2xTorchlight.com. You can email us 2xTorchlight@gmail.com. We are on Discord. We technically have a YouTube page, but the only thing that's on there is our visual trailer, which is really cool, and you should go watch it if you haven't seen it.
We're good at this, guys.
We're a podcast. What do we need videos for? That's why there's nothing on our TikTok page either. But you can message us there if you have to. That's why it's there. But so those are all the ways you can get a hold of us. And other than that, we really appreciate you listening. We hope that you learned something from this episode. If you have any resources that you think we missed, and obviously we didn't cover 100% of what we could have, we can keep adding to it. So send us your favorites and we can add it to this list too.
Absolutely. And until next episode, I hope y'all have good weeks and drink your water and
dream of giant squid.
Yeah. Okay, bye-bye.
Goodbye, guys.
Thank you so much for listening and for supporting the creation of this podcast. You can find the show notes for this episode at www.2xTorchlight.com, along with episode archives, contact info, our press kit, and more. We'll see you back here in 2 weeks for another episode.